Hello, hello. How's everybody doing out there? YDBT Daily coming at you. YDBT Daily, that's right, coming at you on a Thursday. We come at you every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday nights for now is working pretty damn well. So I think I'm going to keep it there for a very long time because I can do a lot of shit in a short time, get videos done, and be able to do a show. After a show on a Sunday morning, I'm not really feeling shit, but just kind of going to the beach and hanging out. So I'd rather get a bunch of stuff done in the morning and then give you a show at nighttime. Today, what we're going to talk about is, are EV sales really dropping like you think they are? A lot of people have sent me articles about maybe a plant closing somewhere in Toronto or, dude, I don't know shit about Canada. I don't know what the difference between Quebec and Ontario. I don't know. I don't care. Y'all, for all I care, y'all the same shit. No, we're totally different. I don't care. So a lot of people's like, hey, there's a plant closing here. Do you think that the EV sales are, do you think that they're going to make big block Chevys again? I go, fuck no. No, they're not going to make big block Chevys again. Forget that stuff. The likelihood of diesel particulate filters coming back is higher than ever. I don't think there's that EV push is ever going anywhere. So I started thinking, do people that are around them that see that, let's say, for instance, some of you are this dense. You say, Teslas aren't selling. I don't see any in my neighborhood. You're in Kansas. You're in Oklahoma. Nobody with money lives there. So stop judging what is happening worldwide because you stick your head out the window in bumfuck Egypt, West Virginia somewhere and you go, I don't see any Teslas around here. Those things can't be selling. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the future of the Grey Goose. A lot of you guys are thinking the Grey Goose is something it's not. I think the Grey Goose is severely overachieving and that is actually a good thing. We didn't think this combination was going to run almost in the mid sixes, but the fact that it is has some of you guys a little on the delusional side, and we'll talk about that, but not before Mr. Bill O'Reilly says hello to the people here.
Okay. We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it, and we'll do it live. Right. Fucking thing sucks.
It does suck. Dean at performanceyahforms.com, the best online parts house on the planet. Get your YDBT Amory Tumblr there. Keep the wife busy. Also buy parts, wheels, you name it. Get every single car part you're going to buy at Dean Half Performance by mentioning YDBT at checkout. Parkfarm.com. They got some shit going on. I might look for a voodoo motor one day. Just a FAFO and see what I can do with that. The Park Farm. PMAS, Nick James at PMAS, got me at 11 to 14 PMAS cold air intake. I am not going to do stock CAI testing. I'm going to get right to it. Put the PMAS in there on the stock tune, then do on the lunch tune. Compare that. To our solution, Ronnie got our solution in Puerto Rico. Calumer Transmission, CalumerTransmission.com. Bellac, Caleb backwards, Bellac Industries, the best wheels on the planet. MFP Australia, MFP. What's up with you guys, MFP? How are you guys going to make those crank supports? Or are you just stroking my cock? Let's say hi to the people here and we'll get after it. Talking about Grey Goose and the future of EV. I'm host hello, Travis, Leon Phelps, Corn Fed Cal, B. Leves, JD Swag, Dixon, Joe Swiss, 2000 MCR, Stuart D, Venom Racing, Douche, Did It, Kristen Duran, TJ Sikorsky, Maki Mak, Coca-Cola. Was he the one? Who was the one talking about drifting? Joseph Jarasek, B. Levesh, Jacob De Leon, Ignacio Ramirez, Mofler, Izzy R., Savar, Martiners, Five-Way Josh again. It's, what the fuck did that say? Elverga Larga, HCF Grad, Reflex, 101 RTR, Robo-Style, Dustin Garrison, Bullet Bill, Mark Christensen, Sam Morales, Monty 540, Andrew Newton, Tusa Coyote, D-Rock Fox, 101 RTR, John Bailey, Nuxo, Reflex, Phil Fez, Kickflip, Jimbo, Jared Wells, what's up, Jared? Joey G, Ken Phillips, Bondo Bird, what's up, Bondo? Hello, hello, I'm just here for the ass clapping. Does that sound gay? It does not sound gay. Narni Mercado, Kickflip, Andrew, Five Way Josh, Kickflip again. Oh, you know, the sound clip I was looking for was before, and shout out to, I can't find it. God damn it. JD Swag. JD Swag pays so much attention to the show, and he was like, oh, this is the sound you're looking for. Now, my problem is that I mislabel them. So
you talk like a fag and your shit's all retarded.
That's the sound clip I was looking for a while ago. Hello, hello, says Jay Bush, Rudy Bucala, Oscar Hernandez, 11 second eclipse, Pete Diddle, Diddy, Andrew Newton, Coyote B. Lavesh. Now, let's get all the way to the bottom. Coca-Cola says, nah, Mr. Sinaloa with my Roush 10-speed Recon 5.0. Nick Nair. Nick Nair, interesting. Airborne, Foxbody, Nicholas Sloth, David Nieto, EPA, Butcher, Victor, 11-second clips, and Coyote Austin. Okay, so a lot of you guys have sent me articles like, mira, canto cabrón. These Yo, EV is dying, bro. Look at the article, Alex. Oh, my God. And I'm like, I pay attention. I pay really good attention of what's happening out there because it's my job, okay? Okay, last week, officially, YouTube and Patreon is now earning me more than my main job. And that's a big deal because now I know that I can survive on that in case shit goes down. I don't think I would ever leave Lund Racing unless the shit started to pay me like 20, 30,000 bucks a month. And then I'd be like, okay, so what are we going to do here? You know, because if there's a juggernaut over here kicking ass, I'd have to think about it, but it's not there. But I am officially over the hump and now I can probably survive between this and the Patreon. Thank you guys so much. We have had a bunch of Patreon memberships. And by the way, there are live chats and I can actually include you onto those. So on the EV front, I'm going to read you a quick article that came out 3 days ago. And it hopefully it gives you guys the idea that fucking EV is not dying. Ford hybrids, EVs, and transits set records in quarter one sales atop industry, up 7%. Ford's America's number one truck seller, backed by a record quarter for Maverick and Maverick Hybrid. Overall hybrid vehicle sales are up 42%. Best quarter ever. I understand you don't think hybrid matters. If people are buying hybrid, they're more likely to buy full EV once the technology catches up. Ford's America's number two electric vehicle brand behind, obviously, Tesla, with strong EV sales up 86%. Ford Transit, America's best-selling van, is off to a record start. Company poised to growth this year. F-150 Ranger, Lincoln Nautilus on sale now. Explorer, Expedition, Mustang, Mach-E, Rally, and Lincoln Aviator come in later this year. Dearborn, Michigan, April 3rd, 2024. Customer reception of the Ford Freedom of Choice across gas hybrid electric vehicles drove company sales and share gains in the first quarter. Ford and Lincoln U.S. sale outpaced the industry, increasing 7%, and follows customer growth across convenient Ford experiences and pickup like convenient Ford experiences like pickup and delivery mobile service and Blue Cruise hands-free drive. Anyway, they're up. They're up. Just because Ford decides to delay the opening of a plant somewhere in Ontario, por el culo del mundo, way the fuck over there that nobody knows about, does not mean industry-wide that it's down. Tesla had another record year last year. Tesla had 1.8 million units sold for the year 2023, and they were an all-time high in the company's history. The best-selling EVs were the Model Y and the Model 3, and they grossed $96 billion in 2023. So before you think that Ford is all of a sudden going to make this course correction and go, you know what, guys, we fucked up. We're going to go back to making gas-guzzling pieces of shit that weren't selling in the first place. No. The market wants hybrids. The market wants EVs. The issue is they don't want Ford EVs. Understand, there's a difference. Just because you live in a neighborhood where you don't see anyone purchasing EVs or purchasing anything that is hybrid does not mean that the world stopped because what you see is reality. No, the world is still chugging along. There are still incentives. There's still government incentives to get EV and hybrid stuff out there. So people are going to take advantage of it. And at the end of the day, something like a power boost, while gay, makes sense if somebody doesn't want a full electric truck, but wants the charging capabilities of the F-150 Lightning in a gas 3.5 Eco truck. Believe it or not, if you happen to have, and call me crazy, I have been looking hardcore at EV products. And one EV product beams and says, I want this shit. And it is e-bikes. I know you're going to think I'm gay, but that's okay. I love the technology. I love electric technology. And after seeing and opening my world up to the world of e-bikes, no, not the gay ass one that have pedals in them that are like a slow one. I'm talking about 80 miles an hour, Talaras, 80 mile an hour
E-Ride Pros with a 72 volt architecture and the Surrons. So I was like, oh, if someone, let's say, wanted to trail ride, right? You get an e-bike, they're not cheap. 72 volt architecture, you can actually put some streets, 17 inch street, you know, supermoto style tires on there and do street shit. And those things can go almost 80 miles an hour and you don't need much. And I went, you know what's funny? That would then warrant something like a charging architecture. I would never want that full time for my vehicles. I love drag racing. I love gas powered stuff. But in summer, nobody races here. In summer, it's too fucking hot. And I would love to have a trail bike to mess around. There's plenty of trails here. And I'm like, e-bikes, interesting. That's something that I might get into. And I might do it on the Patreon stuff. I'd never do it on the channel. But the charging capabilities and the electric and hybrid infrastructure is desirable because the technology, especially on the toy front, is absolutely catching up with technology. So that's something that you guys need to stop and chill the fuck out. Rah-rahing the potential downfall of EV. It is not going anywhere. BYD is still outselling Tesla worldwide. That means there are two major EV manufacturers worldwide that are kicking ass, and Ford is nowhere near it. Now, if you live in the Ford sandbox and you never get out of the Ford sandbox, then, oh yeah, EVs are dying. But that's because Ford does not make desirable EVs. Ford doesn't make anything that competes with the Model 3, the Model Y, or the Model X. Hell, even the Model S or the Cybertruck. They have like a in-between version of that. And the people that buy Ford stuff are already Ford customers. But if you're new to the market and you want something EV, torquey, and the best technology, it's going to be Tesla stuff. Plain and simple. Now, a lot of people on the Grey Goose front, and this is a positive, they're asking what the next step is for the Grey Goose. What are you going to do next? Are you guys going to shoot for threes? Are you guys going to go for 640s? Are you guys going to go for... So you need to understand what to go from 6.6 to 6.3 or 2 requires. You understand? It's probably a $35,000 to $50,000 investment to go 4/10 quicker. And people go, what do you mean? Just add more power. Uh-uh. When you're at this level of in the sixes, because look, you can go 10s to 9s pretty easily. 9s to 8s is pretty difficult. 8s to 7s, you got to get serious. 7s to 6s is $100,000 fucking dollars. You got a 790 car? Yup. You want to go 690s? Yup. Probably going to be $100,000. What do you mean? Complete redoing of the power adder system, complete motor change, private trans change, probably complete suspension change. So the Grey Goose has been punching above its weight class, theoretically, for a while now, because I think it is so efficient at what it does. A lot of people get a false sense of, because people just look at it on the outside, and those that know that the Grey Goose is pretty far from being a 30 or a 20 car, or hell, even a high 30 car, because it requires a lot of work. The Grey Goose still has 3-link. The Grey Goose still has stock floors. The Grey Goose is mostly made of metal. So what you're going to experience going from a 660 car to a 630 car is redo the floors, right? I mean, cut them up, brace them, and make them out of lightweight materials. Redo the turbo stuff. Meaning put 80 plus millimeter turbo stuff, redo the fuel system, better scavenging for the oil stuff. Maybe a complete fuel system change because we need to go 100% meth because we are still fucking with single ID 2600s and an auxiliary 1300, right? And if you want to be like Billy Badass, you might want it all controlled in one system like a Motec and then reconfigure all of that for what? The end of the day, I don't think the Grey Goose is going to end up being at that level where it is competing with the fastest street cars ever. It's not going to be a 4.0 car in the eighth, and I don't think it's going to be a 20 or a teen car in the quarter. Because one, why would we do that if our sandbox is the OEM computer sandbox? And this right here is starting to show, I don't want to say its limitation in terms of tuning for power. I think it's limitation in terms of what it can do in one box. And I think that's where something like a Motec or something similar comes in and has boost control, traction control, everything in one box. Whereas we have to deal with external modules in order to tune the car to make it go what it goes. And the fact that it's running 660s and we think it can go 650 in its current configuration with more boost. We really think it can go a 56 or a 57-ish at full kill, over 50 pounds of boost all the way down the track. We think the motor can survive, but guess what? Every 50 or so passes, that thing needs new rods. That thing needs potentially a refresh. And do we want to get in that game of refreshing the motor two or three times a year? Probably not. So I think a lot of people, while it is flattering for Lund Racing, again, I'm speaking for Lund Racing. I personally just see the comments and I don't think they care to like talk about it, but I think it's a good idea to talk about. I understand you think this thing is going to become the next big something, but I don't think that's the trajectory of what this car is going to be. I think if you wanted to get really serious about going O's and high threes, is you ditch this chassis and you start with a Fox body. And you start with a already light Fox body, four link, Billy Badass, already light. Then you throw your sauce on it. And I think it's better to build something off of something already vetted, like, you know, a bald setup, whatever. But I think or start with a Fox and build it for that reason. And then I could understand shooting for the moon. But right now, that basically, that Grey Goose was a stock car that just slowly became something fast. We got it to a point where it looks fantastic. It runs great based on the what it has, a 6R80 stock computer, 70-something millimeter turbos. I think that's the best it's going to do. So we can talk about that. We can talk about the hybrid stuff and electric stuff not going anywhere. So stop sending me articles that shit's going to stop because a plant closed in Canada. Canada? Y'all got a carbon tax. Like, you guys got way more fucking problems than worrying about what EV truck plant is closing or not closing. And I don't think the Grey Goose is going to be eventually reconfigured to compete against the Billy Badass stuff. I think we're just going to hang on the outside, maybe be in the top five always. And if somebody slips or spins and we're consistent, we might end up at the top if we do happen to compete in one of those races. Alex, we need the pedals to flex the calves. So the only reason I'm looking at e-bikes is because just like in Florida, this is what people do in Florida. Just in case you guys understand, racing doesn't happen in Florida in the dead of summer. Okay, nobody here in June, July, and August, or even in September races. And if they do, they're a psychopath. It's too hot. We have all of spring, summer, and fall to race. And the 4 or 5 month long summer here, where it's hot, you can still do things, but it's not conducive to racing. People generally don't tend to go out of their way to go racing. So a lot of people take up another hobby in Florida, and most of them go fishing. A lot of people here in Florida, the water is the flattest and the fishing is the best when it is the hottest outside. So people just go fishing. And I thought to myself, I've had months of doing videos and trying to get you guys video. I'll always get your stuff. That's never going to go away. But what do I want to do to fill my time to be happy? And because if I'm not going to go, even though I don't go to a track now, I'd like to do stuff that isn't car related to keep my brain at ease. And after looking at some trail rides, and I got my BMX bike out again and I started cleaning it up and putting brakes on it, I'm like, this bitch is nice. Let me actually use these. So then I started dabbling into bikes. And once you start dabbling into bikes, you go down the rabbit hole. And I'm like, what are e-bikes? And you start looking at e-bike videos. And you start looking at modifying e-bikes. And you're like, holy shit, this is a whole world I didn't know existed. Which again led me to think that the electric vehicle, whether it be a motorcycle or car, that is robust. It is so popping. Just because you're not in that world does not mean it doesn't exist. Surrounds are banned on some trails already. That's crazy. I went from $70 a gas a week to 10 a week with an EV. EB, for people who drive like 10 miles a day, still laugh at them sitting there at a supercharger for an hour. I fill up my gas tank in 5 minutes. Technology is great, but EV is impractical. You're wrong. If I had a commute of 30 miles and I'm not a hot rodder, I'm just, you know, I don't care, I would charge at home. There are 7 or 8 Teslas in this complex. each Tesla has a garage. You can rent the garage from the place. They charge in the garage for free. Unreal. Someone says, 6 is fast. Fast, it is. Fast, fast. Hello from Dubai, says Omar1LE. At that point, we'll need to be a Daniel Promont chassis, not a normal chassis. Exactly. Matt Olive says, if it was just as easy as adding more power, then there would be a tire sticky enough to handle the power increase. Got to get the power to the ground to run a number. Matt Oliver, 100% right. We have a thing called a Davis traction control device that we don't use for traction control. We use just to data log what the drive shaft speed is doing versus the acceleration rate with the AMS 2000. So what Junior does is he overlays the data and he's like, we are at the cusp of spinning this bitch. It's right that, is a plane going to crash? No, that's a fire truck. It's like the tire is literally chattering all the way down the track. So our three link might be done. We might need better shocks. We might need different things to make it stick. We might need a four link. And at the end of the day, why the fuck are we going to do that if this thing has gone 1-0s and 6s already? It's crazy talk. Florida equals 180 degree IATs. Once the Grey Goose has peaked in the quarter with 6 already stuck to you, how about the show the roll racing potential of it? They would never do that. The Lunds would never roll race the Mustang. Ayo, what's up, Alex? Chat, what's good? Says Parker Performance. And by the way, I want to show you guys the live chats that we have on Patreon. Again, if you become a Patreon subscriber, we have chats going. And everyone has gone in there and really chimed in, shown us their rides. This is everyone rides. They finally were able to enable the chats online, meaning on the computer. So now I can reply online. And I put up a thread the other day saying, hey, introduce yourselves. And we got Honda guys up in here. We got Mustang guys up in here, Saudi Arabians. My Corvette was up in the house just kind of messing around. And I'm in there talking about show ideas, Murder Nova's exhaust. I showed people stuff here before anything. And the direct messages are popping, and this is where we outline builds. This is where we talk about your setup, and this is how many active chats I have going on right now. So these are all the people that have reached out to me and want to either talk about their setup, talk about what to do, what not to do, what would you do in this situation, da 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 da. So we have a load more. Oh my lord, I forgot that we had a bunch more. So all these conversations are happening in real time, real fast, and everything is just great. So if you want that one-on-one attention, by far, the Patreon page, $15 a month, you get access to a complete different set of chat groups and chat, and like-minded people are going to be in that chat. You can network with each other because you met each other from through the show. And if you want to become a Patreon subscriber, that's $15 a month. It pays for, you know, time with me and to link up with other like-minded people. So you can do that. Alex, living in the hood, you can hear the sirens. Not wrong. Current market day supply on Mach-E is 404 days dead. A modded Sirron is fun. They make 72 volt Sirrons. Like 50 something amp hour, which is stupid. Guys, if I get one, you're going to be blown away as to if you put Supermoto, I think they're called Supermoto wheels and tires on it, like a street tire on it. Dude, it's going to be, it's scary fast how those things can go. Alex, going to start fishing channel. Let's go. See, Jake fishes a lot and that's what he does. And again, that's what someone like him needed to kind of get his brainwave to work properly after dealing with car shit all the time. He takes Tuesday off. He takes a Thursday off. He goes out there with his wife. Water's flat. He goes fishing and he's just a happy cat. Got a big old boat and he's just doing well for himself. And he enjoys it very much and it just calms him, which I'm mind blown over because the process is kind of a big deal to get out there on the boat. But I need to get into something else. I'm getting in better shape and I need to just keep that going and use it and probably do, you know, get the bike out once in a while, get different pedal bikes, and then maybe eventually merge and include an EV of some sort so I can get into it. And I might start, you know, content on that on a completely different platform if the Patreon wants stuff like that. A lot of the EV sales for the ports are actually fleet sales. Dealers are being forced to move Mach-E and Lightnings at losses because they can't dealer trade them and they aren't the best EV, correct? The Lightning is not as good as the Cybertruck in terms of performance. I know towing is okay, but the towing on the Cybertruck is better. The Cybertruck is not as good as the Rivian, Like, the Rivian is a better truck overall than the Cybertruck. But I think the Cybertruck has that it factor. You just look at it. It's fucking weird. It's fast. It tows decent. It does a lot of decent things. Sure, there are shortcomings here and there for the first model year. But I guarantee that if you're not a Ford loyalist, you would absolutely buy a Cybertruck or a Rivian truck over a Lightning. Easily. So, JL asks a good question. So, JL, the Blue Goose is for sale. I think the Blue Goose is, he's going to put the blue doors back on it, put the blue hood back on it, and put the trunk lid back on it, and say for sale. A rolling chassis that has the, I think it's legal to the seven somethings, 9-inch rear end, badass G-Force axles, good brakes, good wheels, good tires. Throw your motor in there, wire your shit up, and go racing with a really nice S550. And it's the Blue Goose, like the OG. That car made the Grey Goose happen. You understand? It was the test bed for the Grey Goose to be what it is. Like, a lot of people see the Grey Goose and they see a 11 to 14 Mustang and they go, oh, it must be a Gen 1 architecture. It's like, no, it's all Gen 2 architecture. The Grey Goose has a Gen 2 control pack. Gen 2 cam position. Gen 2 controls the 6R80. So everything the Grey Goose is what the Blue Goose was. And the Blue Goose vetted that car better. And I think they went and got the Grey Goose to where it is because it's a more favorable platform to go fast in. If you want to go ridiculously fast in an S550, I think that IRS has its limitations. You're starting to see that the IRS eventually is not going to be something that you're going to dip into the mid to low sixes consistently. Whereas the Grey Goose, you can see that once that sucker separates, if it's stuck after 100 feet out, it's going to be stuck. Whereas the 6R80, I'm sorry, the IRS can lose traction way down the track a lot easier, in my opinion. I don't know why, but it's just not as conducive to drag racing as a solid rear axle is. And that's where they said, let's just do the Grey Goose because we learned so much on the Blue Goose. So I think the Blue Goose is going to be sold eventually, but inquire within, see what they want to do about the Blue Goose. And Chuck says there's up to $15,000 off Lightnings right now. And again, it's not because EVs are bad. It's because Ford EVs are bad. I know what Ford did it, but I'm trying to think what it cost to develop an EV lineup. What did it cost Ford to develop an EV lineup versus what it would have cost to do nothing, let Tesla have the full market share of EV, and Ford not do it at all? I think Ford was like, well, we're not stupid. We're going to offer EV, but we're also going to offer hybrid. Hybrid to me makes sense. I've always said on this chat, you've said it, you've heard me say it from the beginning. On this chat, I've always said hybrid is the way to go. I don't know why Ford didn't go with a hybrid Mustang. I don't know why they didn't do that. I don't know why they didn't even bother to dabble into the hybrid stuff. But what they did was they went knee-jerk reaction, take that Elon Musk. I'm going to go after Elon Musk. Do I have Farley? I don't think I have Farley. Farley's, we saw nothing. Diarrhea, that guy. Sponsor diaper, deleter, slurping, last V8. I gotta definitely reorganize this a lot better. This is really, really fucked up. What is this? No, I don't know what that is. So I think that they went knee-jerk reaction just to get some of the market share. And Tesla is cash heavy, dude. Cash heavy. So they can just sit back, do whatever, let Ford try and fail, see what they failed at, get better at it so that when it comes time for your Cybertruck or EV truck to come out, you can already claim that it is better than what the Lightning has. Chuck, the Lightning uses heat strips for heating. I hope the supervisor who greenlit that design got canned. Not hard to source a heat pump. Let me buy the Blue Goose, air-to-water intercooler. No, you buy the whole motherfucker. There is no piecemealing stuff. Senior is actually what he spent the last month on, or let's say 3 weeks on, is cleaning the shop. After building the Grey Goose, you have no idea how much of a mess that makes. The black bean, the Gen 3 Mustang, it's not gone and forgotten. We're just waiting to vet certain things to make it pretty badass. I don't think that Whipple long term is going to stay on that car. Honestly, I don't think it's just not going to stay long term on that. I don't think, and I have not had conversation with them about that. But the Black Bean to me is like not that impressive if it runs 750s. It's like, okay, like y'all did that with the Gray Goose. With the Blue Goose. So what's so special about this black car? If it runs 750s with a blower, big fucking deal. What are we doing? So eventually there's going to be a come to Jesus moment with that car. Like, what are we doing with this fucking thing? Because if the Grey Goose is a 660 car and the Black Bean is going to be a 750 car, where the fuck are we going to run that? Index racing? Like, Lund doesn't like index racing. I love index racing. I wish there were more events that capped the ET at 850 or 80, and whoever gets to the finish line first without breaking out, heads up, should win. And people call that gay. I call that putting people that normally get run out of classes, A, B, C, D, E classes, a chance to actually race somewhere for decent money. And it's good racing. Hybrid was king long time ago, like with the 918 Porsche. Here we go. Our freight trains have been hybrids for decades. Yo, Alex, get into arm wrestling. Nope, that's stupid. It's really gay and it's full of steroids. It's dumb. Supercars went hybrid. It trickled down to E-Ray Mustang. It'll go hybrid soon. If I wanted an EV, I'll go with Tesla. And if I wanted to buy another hybrid, I'll go Toyota. Look at that Le Mans car. Hybrid. Hello, hello. I'm up here. Kona Blue says hello. Are you excited for your ZR1 to come back? Ben Callimer's had some issues with it. The ZR1, one of the smartest decisions I've ever done is to have the ZR1 stuff done by somebody else. And the Fairmont. I am more excited to get the Fairmont back than the ZR1. Because why? The ZR1's going to come back. I'm eventually going to go to the track and try to run a 9.9 with it. That's the goal. I'm also going to try to take the notch to the track eventually and go 9.9 with that. Cool. The Fairmont to me will be fun because I have to decide on what to do. After going back and forth and waffling back and forth with dumb shit, you know, I still haven't decided whether I'm going to go blow through carbureted Coyote locked cams or we're going to go with a Gen 2 6R80 deal. It all depends on what the partners are able to do because you're only as efficient as your partners. If you work with people that get a move on and want to get things done quickly, then your project can do really well. If you start to see that they're not really looking to work and not be on your program, then that'll dictate what the build ends up being like. For example, let's say you got money, but you don't want to do all the work because you can't. You don't have the facilities. You don't have all that stuff. And I needed a transmission yesterday. Is PBH looking to do that? Or are they going to give me something they sell their customers? Because I want a manual valve body situation. If they're not willing to do that or develop that and I see no movement on that, okay, then that's going to steer me towards a Turbo 400, right? If I start to see that all I need is a 790 out of this car and I could probably achieve it with a blow-through carburetor at about, I don't know, mid-20s pounds of boost and the turbo fabrication is going well, the blow-through carburetor company I'm using is doing great and giving me great feedback, and a intake gets fabbed up that fits a Coyote into a 4150 flange, well, I'm going to do that a lot quicker than fucking putting injectors, wiring, computer. Nuh-uh. Like, I want analog. Every single time I get in my Vox body, boom, it just starts. It just does what it does. If there's spark and fuel, it will simply work. And I want to bring that thought process into the Fairmont. Cabin and race class can't break out. Watch how fast drivers rise to the standard. Thoughts on Dodge Hurricane hybrid platforms? Already talked about it. Index racer here. You aren't lying. Right, Ken Phillips? If Alex Flores wants to go racing and there's an 8.0 class or an 850 class, the Fairmont goes racing. Run what you brung. Run what the fuck you brung. I don't care. But you can't go quicker than 850 or 8.0. Oh, you got to hit the brakes. Or dialing your combo, asshole, right? Dialing your combo. Everyone, you know, 16 cars, $5,000 or $4,500 or $3,000 to the winner. Include that because there are so many cars configured so many different ways. All they have to do is not break out. That's the only rule. Pro Tree, breakout is 8.0 or 8.5, done. Now there are a bunch of guys going, finally, I can be in this class. How come? Wouldn't it actually kind of work through increasing octane and cooling? Okay. I really want to know what you're trying to do with the Voodoo from Partron. If you're sticking with the Coyote car, how does that work ECU-wise? Relax. Don't overthink it. You're severely overthinking it. Relax. I just say shit. I surprised diesel electric can't count. I got my build idea from you. TV Explorer 4 fuel system, T56 and full seat of stuff. Couldn't ask for anything better. Too easy. We don't like lab coat scientists around here. 14 Stang stock fuel system, BAP 72s or 95s, centrifugal 6-7 PSI, can I run 85? I would go 95s, Charles Gale, and it has to have a return stock fuel system. Every boosted car on the planet that has a Coyote and E85 needs a return style fuel system. Why in the fuck would you try to run E85 on a stock fuel system and a BAP? You could do it on 3 PSI. 3. Stupid. Get the formula for FTW fuel. So Reflex, we have the formula. Think about it this way. It's nitromethane or M5 or some kind of mix of those. Meth. So we know the mix. And then the smell is basically a fuel additive. So it's not a secret. It's just maybe a secret of what he did specifically. And I talked about it on the Street Alpha podcast. And the funny thing is, I think the guy that made FTW Purple is the guy that owns Pure Driving Solutions, I think. Chris something. Am I off on that? And I think Street Alpha Podcast should probably hit him up because there's a lot of controversy there. So I think Ignite and him used to work at Ignite, or they used to work at another place together. He went off and did his own thing. That product was badass. FTW Purple to this day is considered like some of the coolest shit that happened in the mid-2010s. 15, 16, 17. Hell, 14, 15, 16. Those years, everyone running FTW Purple was fucking awesome. Yeah, Chris Miller, someone says. Elverga Larga says Chris Miller. So I think, Chris Miller. If you want to talk about the lineage of FTW fuel, specifically, as long as there's no crazy litigation happening, I'd love to interview you. I told Street Alpha to hit him up, but if Chris Miller reaches out and say, hey, you know, let's put you on this, we can interview you remotely as long as you have a phone and an internet connection and earbuds and about an hour of your time, I'd love to pick your brain about how that came about. And then we could talk about transmission stuff, which I really don't give a shit about. But we could talk about that to maybe plug your product. And I think a hint of cinnamon, Ford should sell modern day Fox body. Do you think Tesla incentivized make two-door body for Plaid platforms? So, Cole, I don't think Tesla is going to fuck up their Roadster. I know Roadster's not going to come out, blah, blah, blah. Do you know how many people still left the deposit at Tesla in hopes of a Roadster coming out? And based on what you know now, on the current technology, you don't think a Roadster can go sevens? You don't think a model, a Roadster, you know, Plaid or Ludicrous or whatever you want to call it, with today's battery technology? Because guys, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, if you would have told me a sedan can go 940s, 930s, to this day, being the quickest, fastest sedan on the planet, production model still. And people use it as a measuring stick. That's right. Lambos, Huracans, you name it. Porsches, Mustangs, Hellcats. All of those guys use a fucking sedan, electric sedan, as a measuring stick. So if one day Elon Musk gets a hair up his ass and wants to... do I have Elon? If he wants to get a hair up his ass, he could probably make the thing happen and be badass, really badass.
Did you know there was a thing called COVID? I just heard about it.
Oh.
This motherfucker needs to make money. Bitches ain't getting to Mars for free, you dig, homie? I make cars for people that absolutely hate to drive, hence the full self-drive feature. I was going to name the company Non-Driver Motherfuckers of America. Yep. My next big product I'm inventing is Neuralink. I invented it. so I can directly send dick pictures to interns I want to bang directly to their brains. The steering wheel on the Model S Plaid was just a beta version of the next generation steering wheel. It's a mold of my fat dick. The best part about Tesla owners is that I can shit in a box and put a Tesla label on it and they'll buy it.
He's not wrong.
The best part about making Teslas is I don't have to change the design. People overlook obvious shortcomings just so they can sit on my jock.
You know, and he's not wrong. So wait until Elon mentions anything that has to do with the Roadster. People are going to lose their shit and watch it be a 7-second car. Dumb shit. Hey, Alex, is the LRX going to be updated soon? So we are working with the manufacturer. And yesterday, I had a remote trackside session. And if some of you that attempted to upload a data log yesterday were not able to, they might have had a server issue or something. So one of the solutions to that is to have the ability to, number one, have you guys download your own logs. So that means if there is, I think we've sold, how many have we sold? 400, 500? We've sold a lot. So if you guys can download your own data logs on the LRX, that takes away a lot of you complain about the fact that you're not able to see your own logs, and some of you can read data logs, which is great, but I think you should have the ability to download your own logs. So I think that's being worked on. We're gonna work with them to see if the firmware can be updated to locally download your logs. The other thing I think should be worked on is have direct, basically we send you a file through the ticket system and you upload it like the N-Gage. No internet required, no syncing, no nothing. You open up the MFR tool, you dump the file in just like you used to do with SETs and N-Gages. I think those are the two biggest upgrades. Why? Because yesterday I had a remote track support and I couldn't do anything because the server was down and the customer couldn't upload logs because the server was down. So remove the server from the equation, make it more like the N-Gage, make it local upload and downloads, and have the ability to have the customer download his own data logs and view them. I think that would be massive. It would be earth-shaking. It would be fucking badass if we could work with them. But I think we have to earn that. And I don't know if the threshold to earn that kind of support is 1,000 units. But I'm going to tell you, we are the number one seller. By far. Like we, you know, I think their number one seller before us was like Ford, you know? So we'll see what happens. And if it does happen, we'll definitely let you know for sure. Is the torque zone good for my three valve? Just reflex. You've tried that. How many times have you tried that? How many times have you typed that looking to get a reaction? Here it is. How many times did you type that? Let me go check. Reflex GS. Let me go check. Reflex GS. One. I see it a bunch of times and I'm like, bro, look, like the joke is not funny. Like, I love you. The joke is not funny. I could have sworn I saw. Hondas are just coyotes split in half. Like, I get it. You want to be funny. You want to be part of the show. But like, sometimes it's like, just cut it out. Just cut it out. I think he's going to charge $12,000 for the auto drive feature. Elon, all this sex and no pregnancy. What are you talking about? That guy has like 8 kids from 8 different women. Good for you. Yeah, it's wild. The S-Plaid is still the benchmark. You don't say 9s. You say S-Plaid and people know what you're aiming to run. Tesla starts showing up in Northwest Arkansas. I think Leonard Skinner was on it. Ooh, that smell. Jogan Late says, haven't moved to the LRX quite yet due to not being able to read logs. P.S. Excel doesn't work. Pheasants. I would like to see data logs and have a ZT2 or AEM CAN bus compatibility. That's another thing that I think should happen, meaning analog in something like fuel pressure and have it data log. But that is all custom stuff. And luckily, the manufacturer and the programmer is like ridiculously receptive to our suggestions. And he's been just wonderful to work with. Is there no LRX to 2020 G500 since there's no demand? I don't know. That's a good one. I think there is, but I'm not 100%. I know that the LRX can tune all Coyote platforms. I tuned a 23 off 150 today. I tuned a 23 Mach 1 to 22 Mach 1, 23 Mach 1 today. I tuned a GT350 today, LRX. I tuned a F-150 LRX. I mean, we tuned like a Gen 2. So anything we tune right now is all LRX. I don't know about the GT500 yet. And that market is soft. Like, if you thought that market was going to be Billy Badass, like, if you bought a GT500 thinking you're going to make some noise, and then you realize you're not faster than GTs, joke's on you. Like, I am blown away that you bought a GT500 thinking you're going to be king daddy of something, and you are not nearly as quick as GTs can be. Mind blown that you thought that car was going to be something special, knowing that the DCT is a massive, massive issue on these vehicles. Shame on you. You are a stupid. Alex, can I email you Chris Miller's number? No. No, he has to reach out to me. I'm not going to reach out to him. It's weird. You know, maybe his Instagram or something. You know, I don't want his phone number because that's weird, right? That's weird. He says, I spoke with him about you and FTW. He's willing to talk with you, says Michael Locks. Michael Locks, get me in touch with him. Get me his email. Phone numbers are weird. Get me his email. And if we can get his email, I'll get Chris Miller on. And if he can talk for an hour and a half, I'll do a little bit of research on him and see if I can make the interview interesting. But I want to definitely talk about FTW stuff. I think that was such a wonderful product back in the day. And I want to talk nitty gritty shit. Like, I want to know what the fuck happened. And if it's like a litigation thing, then I'll leave it alone. Platt goes 4.6, 60-130 stock. People build cars to be faster than Teslas. Exactly. It is the benchmark. It is the one you put yourself up against. Say what you will about anything. When I think fast, do you think I think Hellcat? Fuck no. Like, I'm blown away that these podcasts, Street Alpha and the Go Soft, that the guys in there trying to, not Street Alpha host himself, trying to rile up beef, a Hellcat against a fully built Hellcat versus a fully built GTR. Are you fucking stupid? Why don't you just try to make a rivalry between a hammer and a nail? Like, a hammer and a nail, the nail has more of a shot to damage the hammer than a Hellcat, anything, has against a fully built GTR. It's not even in the same universe. Please stop those comparisons. And I love that Mustang guys get pushed off. Talk all the shit you want. At Texas 2K, at World Cup, two of the most prestigious street car races there are, Mustangs and Coyotes were representing in the finals everywhere. Everywhere. So those guys don't talk about Mustang stuff. They always revert to the, oh, you guys are going to crash into crowds. Oh, did you see the final? Did you see the final again in the Street Car Takeover? Street Car Class Elite? Did you see the final in World Cup Street Car, Street Fighter? Did you see the final? There was two or three classes. Actually, Brett won Warriors. Charlie Barnes won another one. And we won Street Fighter. Three Coyote fucking Mustangs won things at prestigious street car events. Please, please stop talking down on Mustangs. Lower your tone. Put your head down if you're a Hellcat guy or even a GTR guy talking shit on Mustangs, because those Coyote Mustangs, when built right, are fucking serious. Johnny Tran says, these B58 guys are so proud just to be faster than a Tesla. The GTR got that all day. Got my money on the build GTR all day. Same here. Super Quest says EPA. But what do we know? But do we know what happened to FTW fuel? So I'm gonna absolutely speculate. From what I remember or what I know, there was an accusation of theft in terms of a recipe. Imagine, like, you work at a pizza shop and you go to work at the pizza shop across the street, and then you take what you learned at that pizza shop and then instill it into the new pizza shop, and then they accuse you of st- stealing. This isn't like the soup Nazis recipe that Elaine found in that dresser. Okay, it's okay. This is what they use, so I'm gonna go over here, make it over here. Now we got more customers. What the fuck did I steal? Imagine you get taught how to frame a house. Imagine you get taught how to put on a roof. And then you say, I don't want to work for this roofing company no more. I'm going to go to another roofing company. And you do really well at this new roofing company. You teach them things you for learn at the other one. And then the old roofing company goes, oh, hey, you can't lay the roof like that. That's stealing. So I suspect something like that happened. I suspect there was some kind of accusation of theft of a recipe. And again, I'm 100% speculating. And then it was easier just to drop it because litigation stuff might have been happening. That's all I know. If you guys have insider knowledge on that, let me know in the chat. Johnny Trent says, B58s, G80s, Audi R3s, they ET faster than a Tesla Plaid, and the whole world knows about it. Chris Miller, first to run 7s in a front-wheel drive Honda, manual, of course, and if I remember correctly, first to make 1,000 horsepower. Dude is legit 10 years ago. Damn, they're going to be Bank Coyotes now. The argument is all about clout. Hellcat GTRs, he's going to get freight chain. Right. Like, I don't know Boosted Lucky from a hole in the wall, but what's the quickest Boosted Lucky has been? As quick as me, 8-1. Right? And I don't think Boosted Lucky races. Like, does he race? Meaning, does he go to a, I don't know, does he attend every streetcar takeover? Does he mostly just post on Instagram? And that's okay. There's nothing wrong if you post on Instagram. But I don't see Boosted Lucky and go, oh, that's a legit racer. No, I go, he owns a Demon or a Hellcat wide body. I don't know if it's a Demon or a Hellcat made to look like a Demon. I have no idea. But I don't look at Boosted Lucky and go, that guy's a serious racer. No, we go, he's got a quick car. And he posts on Instagram. Like full stop. Right? That's what I know about him, which isn't much. And if I'm wrong, I'll apologize. Sounds like what Ken did from PBD. I mean, you're not far from the truth, I guess. But that has a lot of wrinkles to it. It's not straightforward. Damn it, it's Papagino's. Alex, why don't you ever hit us with the Seinfeld trivia? It's going well. EPA says it's going well. So doing a thing, the nutrition coaching business too. No fuel for you. It helped cocaine 5-0 diet. I helped cocaine 5-0 diagnosis trans. Ended up being low on fluid. Oh my God. Stop it, Johnny Tran. These motherfuckers are telling me the converter blew up. These motherfuckers are telling me that the shaft, the 4R200. And I'm like, well, why don't you take it apart and see what the deal is? It was low on fluid. Oh my God, Johnny Tran. Chris sold the formula to a company who never used it. He bought it back. Oh, Michael Locks, that's true. Oh, dude. Chris Miller. I need you on this pod, on this little, is this a podcast? Or this is a live stream? This is a live stream. I don't know what a fucking difference is. I'm on more often. So, yeah, I want to interview Chris Miller. I want to talk to him about the fuel. I want to talk to him about all his history. I'll ask him about his history, and I'll probably learn in real time. And I think a lot of people that follow him from the Honda world and all the other, and the B58 guys and all this bullshit, I'll find out about him because I don't know much about him. So I'd like to find out some stuff about him. Intellectual property was stolen? I don't know. I'll have to interview him. Would be cool to make the data logs viewable in existing LRX software, but you just click a different tab and import the file so it's proprietary and not compatible with other log viewing programs. Got it. Did you try Mega Log Viewer? Dual power adder. Boosted Lucky should sell the Hellcat and build a twin turbo Viper that he has a shot at a GTR. On a roll, maybe. Black Bean is faster Whipple car than Boosted. Black Bean is a faster Whipple car than Boosted Lucky. That's sad. 200 likes, 400 viewers. Get the like button to chat. Exactly. Carter TV says, no, he almost got gapped by a stock motor twin turbo car with a TR6060 from a roll. Okay, so he's not a legit racer like that. And that is not a dig at him. It is an observational fact that I don't see him racing a lot. That's all. Street rolls, mainly from what I see, it's way low on fluid. 4 quarts low on fluid, and they're fucking hitting me up on my inbox. Do you think the transit, do you think the converter, and it's a low on fluid. Oh my Lord. I had a buddy with a full bolt on Gen 2 race a Hellcat and was pulling away. Did I hear correct the last slide that the Grey Goose ran 730s with a UPR upper and lower and urethane bushings, or did you mean the Heim joints? I think it had urethane bushings. Let me hit up Senior because I have Senior on the horn. Oh my God, my phone exploded. What the fuck? Senior. Let's go. We talked yesterday. It was a good time. He picked up my cylinder heads from the place. Good guy. Good afternoon, senior. Could you tell me which control arms were in the Grey Goose before you converted it to a 9-inch? Period. I thought the car went 730s with a UPR upper and urethane lowers. Period. Is this correct? Question mark. I love talk to text. Technology. Oh, bro, I could be like, hey, baby, can you pick me up some ramen noodles? And when you get here, I'm going to turn you around and make sure I eat that toting from the back. Look at that. Imagine if I hit send to senior, he'd be like, I don't know. I don't know what the fuck that's all about. Let me erase it. Talk to text is just wonderful, especially if you're dating, by far. So Chris didn't pull a... Slow 99, who are you? You seem to know a lot. You seem to know a lot of what's happening out there. And I think it's kind of funny because a lot of people are probably not willing to say certain things because, you know, certain subject matters need to die. And I think that one, we buried it. Guys, see, you don't know this, but we were more excited to win a certain race at TX2K than the final. Not going to say which one, but our reaction said it all. And we were just like, the sweet, sweet taste of revenge is upon us. Damn, Slow 99, I forgot about that. Did he check the fluid with it running? The Stay Soft podcast says this isn't a podcast. This is a real podcast. Call it a chat. It's still better than a week. Yeah, exactly. If those guys don't put out content, what the fuck are you? I don't want to be a podcast. I want to be the fucking best informative video format channel ever. Jared Wells, the 2.3, where does the 2.3 liter Roush max out at? Unported, I think you can make high 800s with it with cam shafts. Stock cams, I think, are going to be a limiting factor. You need to flow that air because it bunches up. So let's say if you have a 69 upper, hail, and a 20% lower, I think you could probably make high 800s, which is pretty much all you need to run low nines. Urethane and Heim, half and half, maybe. Talk to CX only works if you have no speech impediment. Exactly. Don't send that to senior. Alex, send it to senior. Now send it to senior. Put the Diddy clip through talk to text. Okay, hold on. How do I do that? Shit. Put the Diddy clip through talk to text. Speaker headphones. Okay, here we go. Hold on. Let me see how this works. It did not pick nothing. It picked up nothing. Oh, I'm disappointed. I'm so disappointed. Don Hill says, actually, they shouldn't be hosting the server themselves as they should be going to a cloud platform. I said, okay. Senior would be like, what's the whole thing? Finally, someone that uses text speech correctly and doesn't write back and run on sentence. Exactly, Mendoza's Coyote. If you understand what the computer is looking for, you know how to talk to it. Like, I've seen people go on talk to text and they go, hey, make sure you get milk and then let mom know that I'm maybe, and then it's like the biggest mess on the planet. Sasso, the sweet smell of revenge. 7-9 ratio. Fruit pop. Tell it Aaron earned an iron urn. See if it registers. Okay, let's do it. Aaron earned an iron urn. So talk to text. Here we go. Aaron earned an iron urn. There we go.
I say bottom accents. Say this phrase out loud.
Shut up. Okay, so I gotta put it on speaker. Sorry, it's actually picking that up. It actually picked up what I was saying. Motherfucker, select all. There you go. Okay, so let's see if it picks this up.
Earn, earn, and earn, earn.
Hold on, my.
Earn, earn. Aaron, earn, and iron, earn. Damn, what the fuck? We really talk like that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see it.
Earn, 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 earn.
Let me see it.
No, it's literally not picking it up. It's weird. Like, maybe it knows that it's not an actual voice happening, but yeah, it didn't pick it up at all. It just told me to eat shit. So it just stopped recording. So there goes that. The neighbors are going to be like, what the fuck? Don't forget the period at the end. That's all. I'm looking for a stock low right now. So something that might upgrade, that's more enough for the street. iPhone would have picked that up probably. Nuxo, I'm okay with them doing that. It's really bad and dull, and I don't think that they'll do well because they have Nut Riders, but there is something missing from any live stream, from any Coyote guy. Me. I'm the fucking reason this pops off. Me. I have personality. So you gotta have personality, plain and simple. Yes. So Senior said, well, hello. Yes. Rear. He asked about the rear. I said, yes, the rear. Great Escape speeches. Diddy on AI would be diabolical. I saw that Nuxo. One big problem with that. Exactly. AJ, if you don't have the personality, and if you got to come up with subject matters from the sky. You have to come up with absolute crazy subject matters and pull them off and say them in an entertaining fashion. You can't sit there and talk about injector pulse width and have the people think that they fucking know what the fuck they know what they're saying or have interest in what you're saying. At the pause of the video, my daughter walked in the room. Alex's phone isn't used to that ghetto vernacular exactly. Okay. So apparently, Senior went 730s with a UBR upper spherical on both. I thought it was urethane. And lower UPR race spherical. Okay, so spherical everywhere. But UPR stuff. So we went 730s, 1.1 or 1.2 60 foot with UPR spherical stuff. Pretty cool. Also, a certain someone copying your YDBT face logo. Oh, yeah. Come on, dude. Dude, no one has an original thought in their fucking mind. Like, no one in this space has an original thought. They see that this works for me, and they try to copy it. And I'm okay with it. The pie is big enough. And if they're successful, great. But it's kind of hard to beat the guy who started this shit. The phone can't translate certain ethnicity. Oof. Alex, can you check your email? Making sure you got the info. Yes, sir. Check the email right now and make sure that I get in touch with Mr. Chris and talk to him about FTW Fuel, because I really want to know the story behind that. And I think that's where my talent shines in interviewing. Oh, perfect. Yep. Got the. Why'd you send me a picture of him? That's kind of weird, right? Or is that a picture of you? Is that a picture of you? Why'd you send me a picture of yourself? Riley, Jesus. Oh my God. Stop it. Stop it. And you know, similar to the other fucking homo that talks shit, I haven't mentioned him, right? Right? Those are two people I don't talk about. I don't talk about that shit because it's bad. Not for me. Not for me. So there's a certain reason I keep everything on the DL, because certain things shouldn't be talked about. So don't fucking poke the bear. That's all I'm saying. Alex, you should copy someone by...
Ah, fuck, dude.
Dude, it is funny, but it's not funny if you're the victim. Everyone tries to live stream at some point, and they always give up within a week or so because of lack of viewership. And you know what? I'm telling you, I absolutely didn't have many viewers initially. I had 60. And I said, fuck it, let me just keep going. All good. Yes, sir. Asking the chat. Okay. I'll talk to text him. Yes, sir. The chat wanted to know what control arms were in the Grey Goose before you put a 9-inch in it. Perfect. You just have to talk like a normal fucking person. Not just personality, integrity too. 800 horsepower pump gas, bro. I'm telling you, I love it. I love it. I love when people lie to you to sell a product. Not just them, the parts house. And I go, that's going to come back to haunt you. That motherfucker has no charisma like you, Theo. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. The most boring podcast live stream would be, oh, stop it. He tried one too. Most car guys have the personality of a half-filled bucket. The other guy is only clickbait, PPD doing lives now. How's that going to channel reach? I don't know. Good for him. Fuck it. Staring at the camera, talking to it like it's a person, all while keeping the relevant, entertaining content. It's not easy. It's fucking hard. Go ahead, guys, and understand how long it takes to manage everything, manage the chat, talk to the chat, give you content, fill it with content, talk, you know, and do it consistently. Like, consistently. I've been doing this for about 5 years. Like, 5 years consistent of just live stream. Every, you know, I change the format once in a while, but I try to get you guys at least 3 or so live streams. And for a while, I was giving you daily live streams, which was crazy. We just need to do a Grey Goose interview. Interesting. Boy. Senior, would you be willing to do an interview for about an hour and a half for the channel? ? I would interview Senior. The thing is, Senior and I would talk for 3 hours. That's the problem. And I think I have like a hard limit of 2 hours on the software that I have. My phone translates when I'm hitting Meek Mills up at night. You do realize that Tesla has a motor, whereas Coyote people have an engine. Yeah, that's right. Electric, it's called the motor. Oh, here we fucking go downhill. Best live stream on YouTube. Thanks for being you. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. 3 times a week, too. That podcast, I love the FTW fuel that was on the ship back in the day. And I loved when you said Honda B Series and K Series line was on point. And I learned that from Can I Be Frank? Can I Be Frank got on this channel and he said, Alex, think of the Honda B Series like a 4-valve and think of the Honda K Series as a Coyote. And it went bing. Now I look like a cool old guy for these old heads that I go, it's 2K Series just smashed together. So if you're a Honda guy, okay, and you want to get into the modern V8 game, you are more likely to be successful with the Coyote platform. I know. I am telling Honda guys to fucks with Coyotes, but not the gay Honda guys, the guys that race. And if you can bring your expertise of Honda stuff over to Coyote, it'll at least give you a bit of a head start and a bit of a better understanding of, you know, how the architecture works, because you already have experience, mechanical experience in the Honda K Series. And I think the Coyote would be right up your alley. Finding this channel is probably the best decision I ever made. Thank you, Royal Coyote. Did you come from the Street Alpha podcast also? Elva Galarga, La Verga Larga says, and bring us cheeks getting clapped. Department of Motor Vehicles, just stop motor vehicles. Examples are endless. Did we ever get a count on the butt to nut ratio from that live stream? Oh. Senior says, I would. Seriously. A privilege in my book. So I'll have to lock in Senior for a date, and maybe we can have Senior, not on a live stream because you guys are psycho, but an interview, and I'll lock him in for an hour and a half. Okay, we'll get together and lock you in for about an hour and a half, and we'll cover certain subject matters so that the people get up to par on the lineage of how the Grey Goose came to be, especially in its latest iteration. Dude, it just did it. It just fucking bam, boom. Talk to text is the best fucking thing ever. Rest in peace, Bumble Swipes. Yeah, gotta rest in peace, bro. There's Patreon is doing extremely well. Thank you guys so much. I'm extremely flattered that you guys are willing to give me $15 a month to have access to our servers, our chats, and our one-on-one consultation service that we have going on there. I think that's going to do extremely well in the future. And if it does make more than what eventually YouTube makes me, then I got to do some serious thinking about what the career path is going to be. I think I'll keep everything, honestly, and just work my fucking tail off until I'm dead. Alex with the Only Facts podcast, real numbers, no garbage. Alex drinking whiskey. Hey, John Lund's in the house. See, that's what I like about John Lund. So we're talking about you potentially getting on an interview here, because I think the Grey Goose deserves, obviously, you are the builder. You are the owner. You are the fabricator. You are the fucking driver. You are everything to that car. So I won't get too technical unless the people want technical. And we'll talk about everything. And if it takes a couple of hours for us to hammer out how the latest iteration, I want to take off from like the turbo, the new turbo kit. Once you took off the old turbo stuff and you put the new stuff off with Mr. Ryan Eckhart of what's it called? What's his company called? Ryan Eckhart. He's an excellent fabricator. Fucking wonderful guy to have in the pits with you. That's a great guy. Where's Tony interview coming exactly? Any name ideas for the 14 yet? Bomba Clap, Poverty Star? I don't know. I can put that up on the Patreon and get a name for it. But honestly, it's going to be the 13 GT for now. Pete Diddle Diddy says, Alex, I wouldn't mind lagging in an hour for you with an interview. Wait, are there any straight Honda guys? Parker Performance says, pulled the crank bolt today off a G3 Roush car that needed a motor. Bolt was mushroom at the end. Sent you an email with some photos for your enjoyment. Damn. Then you hit speak. So it reads incoming text. Howdy guys and gals, says John Lunn. At Alex, no sir, I've been here for about a year or two. I discovered you on social media, saw that you were talking shit, and I had to come check it out. The amount of knowledge you have given me is amazing. So, in all honesty, and not to get serious and gay, I'm flattered that, okay, imagine you are trying to find information, and this is the motivation why I do this. Every time I tried to find information, whether it was on 3-valves because I owned one, whether it was on a 9C1 Caprice, whether it was on a GT500, whether it was on an 11 GT, I found that the information that was being given to me was being given to me by people that push a product or people that are told this information. And I'm like, wait a minute, how do I get in on the ground level? How do I get in on the ground level of development so that we can be the people to tell the shops, to tell the customer what to think? And then those people are like 3 degrees separated from the actual source. And those are the people that are replying to you online. That's not good. I've bought so many parts. I bought so many dumb suspension parts, wheels, tires, based on others' recommendation. And I thought to myself, all of this is wrong. I'm just wasting money and time. So what I did, I said, obviously, when I got with Power by the Hour and Lund Racing, I'm like, oh my God, I am at the ground level of development. This is ground level shit we find out others still struggle with to this day. Okay, shit we find out, like we found out 5 years ago, people are still struggling with it today. Like there's a guy out there that tells you that the knock sensors are like some kind of closed loop thing, that it's not actual detonation happening. I went to Roush Performance. They had a copper tube bolted to the block. And I said, what's that? He goes, that's how we dial in the knock sensors. I go, excuse me? He goes, yeah, we listen to it. Oh, so it's not some closed loop shit where the command versus the, you know, the command versus what it puts out versus it's always like a up and down thing and the knock sensors pull timing based on a command, not actual detonation. He goes, no. With the knock sensors pull timing based on a frequency. They're frequency based. It's a frequency. So they put a copper tube on the block and listened. And when they went out there and went watt with a Roush blower on it, they're like, I don't hear detonation. I don't hear detonation. But the knock sensors were going off in the logger. So they're like, okay, let's desensitize them. Boom, desensitize. Oh, I hear it. Okay, then you bring it back and you tweak. Now, you have calibrated the knock sensors based on audible detonation. So when I found that out, it opened my eyes. I went, oh my Lord, they're frequency based and they're listening for a specific frequency. So that's why when your exhaust rattles at a certain tone or hits the AC stud or your CAD can rattles off of the cam cover, the knock sensors start to be a little, you know, noisy. And I'm like, oh, so once I got in on the ground level of that stuff, I can now tell you with absolute certainty, with proof like that, how the knock sensors work. Then I bought every fucking platform we tune. The only platform I have not bought is a 10R Gen 3, which I'll never buy, and a 2020 GT500. Every other platform we tune, I've owned. Crazy stuff. The literally is the go-to channel for any info coyote Mustang, period. I need to get a hot dog recipe. I heard Camaro owners are the ones to ask. Well, they all taste like shit. I hope I wasn't Epstein Island. Not Philly to Baltimore. Did you fly somewhere, dude? Seen your flu somewhere? I can tell you, Meek Mill is a whack. I flew him a few times. He did fly him a couple of times. And this is a little sound the senior recorded.
Oh, bro. Oh,
he flew Cheek Mills. Sponsorship detected. Recommendation rejected. Sir, what is the distinction between frequency rate in a diagnostic and rate in a diagnostic assessment? I think you need to be a little more specific. Frequency rate. Frequency is a sound, a tone. Rate is the how much. So let's say, for instance, the frequency is consistent. Let's say, you know, a consistent frequency. Then the knock sensors would probably pull aggressively. And there is a rate of retard. There is a rate of retard in the tune. And we don't massage that much. So what I do is this. Every single centrifugal blower on the planet, based on me owning it, hits that frequency, especially on a manual, on a shift. That's why on a shift, especially the 3-4, where the load is the highest, the knock sensors tend to pull 10 degrees. The car noses over. I say put octane booster in the tank. The car still noses over. I know the knock sensors are picking up the blower issue. Why? The blower is on a bracket sticking out of the engine. The engine's here. Now you bolted a bracket here, and you have a rotating device here that's spinning 19,000 RPMs. That's going to make a weird frequency noise, and when you do a 3-4 shift and the car's flying down the fucking street. So to answer your question, there's a distinction between frequency, meaning maybe there is a length of time or a boy, that's a good question, whether the frequency is louder or quieter. And I'd love to know the logic behind that. But the problem is I don't know if we have the access to the logic of how much timing it pulls based on frequency duration or actual volume. That is an interesting one. Thank you for the $100. Damn, John Lund. Appreciate that. By the way, I was still looking. You know, I was looking for the money for the track, and I'm like, man, I think I worked like 90 hours. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, man, he'll take care of me. I know he'll take care of me. But I was looking. I was like, boy, those 90 hours, all that driving. Royal Coyote says, as a 20-year-old kid, the information from this channel is eye-opening, and I try to educate and steer others towards this channel. Appreciate you. That's unfortunately the case where the future, the Gen Z and alphas, are going to be better educated on the Coyote platform than a boomer or a Gen Xer. Why? We grew up on Fox body stuff. There are still Gen Xers that look at a Godzilla and go, that's a good swap. And you can't tell them different because they grew up in the days of the DSS 306s, the Man of War block, the A4 blocks. Oh, 7.3 liter Ford? Shut up. Now the Gen Z and Alpha go, we don't know nothing. So we're going to learn through this guy. This guy is telling us this. The Alpha and the Z generation are going to have a better base knowledge of Coyote and stuff going forward than Gen X and boomers do because they have been tainted with past bullshit. One of on RTR says, knowledge dropped every week. Crazy. Thank you, sir. You're welcome. Call me gay, but I still like the song by Meek Mill's Dreams and Nightmares. Hopefully he wore a diaper before he got in Senior's plane because his sphincter is toast after he got diddy. Senior sounds like a cool ass boss. He's a good dude. There's not many like him, dude. There's not many. I've had 40 jobs in my life. And this dude's one of a kind, honestly. Dame ese chonchon says, what's up, Ano? Do you think the amount of money is okay? What do you think the amount of money is good to get into cars, like lowest cost? What? Did you? So first of all, he's got Dana White. The name is Guaz. And it's like, what do you think is the amount of money is good to get into cars like lowest cost? Cars and cost savings is not synonymous. Alex, thanks for getting my On3 shit lined out. New gaskets this week. Maniac, make sure, I love you. Let's take a really good look at the sleeves. Let's look, make sure gaskets just don't go. You understand? Gaskets just don't fail. Something eventful had to have happened for a gasket to let go. Now, if you push a head gasket, meaning you didn't have enough clamping force on the cylinder head, I could totally understand that. But head gaskets don't just go. And then you could just throw another gasket in there and be okay. Pull the head, look at the head, inspect the head, do the proper vetting, make sure the sleeve's not cracked, make sure the block's not cracked, because for you to kill a gasket is not common. Like, for example, my red car. When I bought my red car from VMP, it had a cracked sleeve on the motor. Oh, it's just a head gasket. We'll throw another head gasket on it. What? Like, homeboy told me, we'll just throw another head gasket on it. I'm like, no, that's stupid. Let's actually see what the deal is. Cracked sleeve. Senior wants to see Tony. Lunt Senior needs a chat icon. I don't even have a coyote, but the info that you give is great. Thank you. US Millennials came up on two valves and three valves. Sam, was that explanation based on limited or specific to one engine formation or form factor? Based on the architecture of the... Okay, so the manipulation of the tuning area of the knock sensor. So if you go to the knock sensor area in the tune, there's advanced rate, retard rate, sensitivity. I'm not going to tell you what we do to counteract it because that is proprietary information. But based on the adjustments that we make, tell us that there is some kind of not only potential volume, but duration that directly affects how much the knock sensor's pull timing based on the tune layout. Ain't no party like an Alex party. Do you believe Cat Williams? 100%. Now, millennials are R-worded. I'm one. One of my classmates are dumb as fuck. Yeah, I learned something every time I watch your live, and also a diehard Chevy guy. But watch your content back and when you were doing YDB stuff. Ask Diddy, he'll sponsor you. Was that manual versus automatic? Manual, mostly. Automatics tend to have less knock sensor activity because they have less variables, meaning automatic has constant power and it's a constant push. A manual, you clutch in, you clutch out, and you jostle the engine around, and it can probably cause more vibration and harshness than an auto would. Almost had you, says Royal Coyote, you spot on, dude. I'm 22 and I watch every one of Alex's podcasts. Well, this is not a podcast. I love the way he teaches us in an entertaining way and gives me the ammo to fire back at Chevy dick riders at work. Head gaskets could be a fuel system issue. Might have a short in the budget system causing a lean issue. His fueling was on the money. Gotta head out. Catch the rest later. Thank you, Andrew Newton. You're more likely to bend the rod, spin a bearing, and blow a head gas than blow a head gasket these days. Exactly. Can't say retard, so say Biden. The head gasket issue is from being on the chip for 20 seconds. Senior and or Grey Goose should become have member badges. If the next CX2K or FL2K Coyote-powered vehicles start trapping 200-plus during the roll racing events, bring more potential customers to Lund Racing. I just don't think people give a fuck about the roll racing that much. When you go to 2K, asses are in seats in drag racing. It's just how it is. The asses are in the seats during the drag racing. During the roll racing, ain't nobody watching that shit. Nobody. I teach millennials. No comment. Marquise says, "Dude, the reason I stopped spending money on NA parts and got the Whipple Gen 5. Thank God I saved someone from fucking spending their money on NA shit. So let's do some quick 13 stuff. I received a PMAS intake and I put ET Suite SSs on the back. 285, 35, 19. A little on the short sidewall side, but again, I just want grip. I don't want like the best grip. I just want better than what it had. It had dry rotted tires that were spinning on the 1-2 ship. So I'm not going to do stock cold air without an intake, stock cold air versus PMAS. No. Fuck. It's just so stupid to compare Ford parts. I'm going to do stock intake, Lund tune, quarter mile with grip. Then PMAS. Lund tune with grip. And that's going to be the back-to-back test. So we're going to see if the cold air actually makes a noticeable difference in the quarter mile on the street using a draggy, which is not the most scientific way, but at least it's that's the only tool I have. 21 here, and I sell cars, and I have used a lot of info learned from this channel to drive sales. Roll racing, Midnight Performance, Finals, FFRI Motor. Talk about good advertising, Cameron Fisher. My Bullet is about to be the Alex Special with a Stage 2, MTD2, and ESS Blower. How's the driving on the street with them? Joints, is NVH terrible? Heim joints? Oh, yeah, Heim joints are going to be noisy, especially if you had a couple of small bumps. For some reason, big bumps is not a big issue, but small bumps, like a little tiny, you know, those little reflectors on the road? Once you hit those, you think your rear end's falling apart. Roll racing doesn't translate well at the track, exactly. I only go to 2K for the drag racing. Roll racing is just a bunch of expensive-ass cars slamming the pedal down. Too much fuckery in roll racing with the cars trying to pace each other. I'm still a kid, man. Turned 20 a month ago. Just finally got my password for this app and my damn phone. Join the paid subscribers to support the chat and the channel. Thank you, Parker Performance. If you don't catch it live, I listen to the replay while I'm at work. The Diddy and Meek slowed down clip from the other day almost made me crash my semi from laughing so hard. That's good. Been with Lund 5 years and never had a problem. Great service. Keeps my 900 wheel horsepower stock 10 or 80 alive. Unlike my friend who is tuned by somebody else. Just saying. You do not listen to Alex if you got a Stage 2 caliber. Stage 3 only. Exactly. S5 Filthy says, went FBO E85 on my Gen 2 for less than 2,000. Did all the labor myself. If you do the labor yourself, I think that's fine. The problem is when you chase NA numbers and you start putting trumpets and take the hoods off of these cars. I don't want you on this channel. I don't want you around. I don't want you in my wavelength if you start taking hoods off of cars and put trumpet intakes on your shit. Regardless of what kid told you to put them on because he mass produces them. It's just fucking stupid. The quickest NA car we've tuned, Gen 2 Robert Ball's car, old school. He tried the trompeta. And it wasn't nearly as good as his custom-made cold air box that was made out of, like, insulation for chiller pumps. It was crazy. That draggy test with the cold air intake without might hurt feelings. The draggy test with CEI and without might hurt feelings. Not a Coyote. I told PMAS what I'm doing. If the cold air intake test yields no gains, first of all, I'd be shocked. There are noticeable gains with a cold air intake, but not, this is the other test I'm going to do. So, okay, I'll let you in on it. I'm going to do a test where I keep the IETs at about 105, meaning I'll be driving, turn around, stop, boom, do a hit. Put the PMAS on, tune it, driving, get the IETs favorable, stop, boom, do a hit. So, I'm hoping that it goes from a 1280, hell, I think it'll go on a tire, like a 1270. It'll go 1270, 93 Lund tune, stock cold air. Stock car with just grip. Then with the PMAS, I think it'll go 1260 or high 1250s. But this is the last test I'm going to do. I'm going to come to a stop. And I'm going to let it idle for about 10 minutes. Mimicking what you would do at a track. And then I'm going to just do a hit then. So now the IETs are going to be 130, 140, on the launch. Now you're going to figure out why people push their cars all the way to the staging lanes, all the way to the front. Because if you sit there idling with your hood down, the engine bay is hot, it is just sucking in engine bay air and your IETs go up. So driving, stop, do a hit, stop, cold air, PMAS, driving, stop, do a hit, PMAS, cold air, stop, idle for 10 minutes, do a hit. Watch it be a fucking 12.8, 12.9, like 3/10 slower on the stop, idle, do a hit, as opposed to driving, stop, do a hit with the cold air and the PMAS. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Thank you so much for hanging out with me for a little bit. If you've noticed, I'm talking a little better and there is less bullshit. The grill got fixed up. I told you guys before that I had issues with the grill situation. So long story short, apparently one of my teeth had trauma that happened when I was like a teenager and it was like slowly decaying inside and they caught it in time, yanked it, and I had a partial in there for a long time and the partial was being held in with this retainer situation. Once that was able to get sized up and revised a couple of times, now these are all, it's all good. I know nothing. So I'm able to talk a little easier and I'm so happy that I'm able to talk and say GTD without weird accents. You won't hear that clicking that I was doing because no retainer anymore. So I'm able to talk a lot more freely and I'm happy that I'm finally back to my normal self, talking like a normal person. And it's just way more comfortable. So I apologize for those 6 or 8 months that I gave you weird chatty, kind of clicking, you know, couldn't pronounce things, but I was wearing this partial. That was a problem for a very long time. But now we're good to go. We're Gucci. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I'll be back on Sunday night, 8 p.m. We'll talk about whatever the hell happened between now and then. I'll try to line up the Chris Miller interview and the John Lund interview as soon as possible so we can get more content on the channel so you can watch some interviews from prominent people in the motorsports industry. And I'll get you videos on the GT and the LX soon because I think I'm going to have this weekend and have some actual time to get some videos done. All right, guys, I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. I'll see you guys on Sunday for Peasant Chat. Bye.